All right. We've been looking in Romans chapter 12 at the gifts, the designer gifts of the Father. Would you take your Bible and turn there with me again? I want us just to read over that section, Romans chapter 12. You're familiar with the first verses, and I hope you're becoming more familiar with the rest of the chapter, because the rest of the chapter actually tells you how to be a living sacrifice. And most people stop with verse 2, and they don't know the rest of the chapter. And in stopping there, you're just pulling out of context what God put into context. And we need to understand what God says. So, starting in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, he's written this entire book up to this point talking about the wonderful theology, the wonderful relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and what that has brought to our lives because Jesus died for us. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are in one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for all things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a great chapter. I mean, there is a lot of stuff involved in that. But one of the big elements in there that we're looking at is these gifts that the Father gives. Now, He's the one who provides these. And we've been looking over the last couple of weeks at the individual giftings that God gives to His people. So this is the third part of that. And we're dealing with the first one, which is prophecy. Now, you remember we were talking about these seven different giftings that one of the ways you can tell sort of if these are part of yours is that in prophesying, there's this just strong desire that you have for people to trust God. And so prophetic folks come up with words from the Lord to people's hearts and to get them to trust God. You can really trust Him. You can. He's going to help you. And they provide that. Folks that have the gifts of helping or ministry, they use their personal abilities to do things so that other people who are involved in other giftings can get on with those. And the people with helps are super important, but they're always taking sort of a back row seat. They don't want the public praise or the public spotlight. People who are teaching want people to understand. That's why I'm a teacher. And you know what teachers do? Teachers repeat and repeat and repeat. And you get, I already know that now. Yeah, but I really want you to understand it. And so I really am pushing strong that you understand that, because that's my big deal. That's the motivation I have, that you understand, because if you understand, it helps you then to do. If you don't understand, then you're just trying all kinds of stuff. But if you understand what God said, then you can operate in the things that God says. Those are exhorting. Man, they want your lifestyle to change. And so they come, they share their life, and they share a verse, and it's usually one verse and one situation, and they just start banging you with it and hitting you with it because they want to see change in your life. And they're great at doing that. And they exhort you, and, you know, sometimes they're pushing you, and, you know, sometimes you're, whoa, but I'm not sure. But they're pushing you in the right way, and they want you to move in that. And they're good. People have giving. Well, they give their personal finances to enhance the kingdom of God. And they do it liberally, it says, which means they give a lot. But the word actually in the Greek means that they give without wanting anything in return. They're doing it without a whole lot of show. You remember the story about Jesus told about the guy that goes, sounds the trumpets, and then gives? And he doesn't want that. So people that give, he wants that given, and nobody really knows about it. No plaques, no recognition. You just give. And so people that are real givers in that, do that. Leading, well, those folks come up with structure, just that's what they live. They can set things together, set up structure, and move things through. It's amazing how that happens. And then showing mercy. That's where people want to be involved in restoring folks to that proper place where they're walking with God. Now, you know, remember when we were going through this, I mentioned everybody is supposed to do all of these things. There's passages in the Scriptures that tell us we're to do every single one of those. That's what makes it a little bit difficult for us to find out what our gifting is, because I'm supposed to do everything that's there. We're supposed to exhort one another every time we come together. We're supposed to teach. Everybody's supposed to be involved in that through some means. So how do you know which one your special one is? And it's because that one really stands out. That's the one that you do all the time. And so I want you to remember, as we get into talking about prophecy, God again says that in order to operate in this gift, you have to give yourself as a living sacrifice. If not, you will use this gifting to cause trouble within the congregation. You'll have it, but it'll cause trouble. Now, you remember the Bodhiism I gave you? The Bodhiism is where I can't prove it from the Scriptures. I just sort of think it. And the Bodhiism I have on this is that I think this Father in Heaven gives all of these to people when they come into the world. They just all have this. When they come to know Jesus, then the Spirit of God gets inside of them, and He then uses these for the kingdom of God. But they have them. I mean, I've met great teachers who are really good teachers. Not believers, but they are really good teachers. Where did they get that? I mean, all good and perfect gifts come from the Father. I think they came from God. I've seen other people that, man, they're philanthropic. They just give and they give and they give and they give. But the problem is they don't walk with the Lord. And so they have to have their name on everything. And so it's always this foundation, and they want all, you know, and they do it so they can get praise and acclamation. And so I think God gives us these gifts. So you've got to be a living sacrifice. The second thing is you've got to understand you're not all that important. I mean, you're important, but you're not the only one. Jesus is the most important. We simply are players in this. And while your importance is that you are necessary, you're not the only one around. It's not about you. It's about being together to form the body, and we all work together to accomplish what God's doing. Does that make sense? Shake your head like this if you understand. Okay, good. Thank you. So we're a body and we function out. And the last thing that we got to remember is that we got to love one another. Love is the oil that keeps these things from clashing with one another. Every time God mentions gifts that He gives, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, Ephesians chapter 4, he always mentions love around them, because if you don't have love, people will move these gifts in a wrong way. They'll move to manipulation. They'll move in their own flesh. And so we've got to have that. So we've been looking at prophecy. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. The Greek has an article, the faith, and so I think it carries forth a lot of we prophesy according to what the Scriptures say. Those with this gift really see people trust the Lord, and they spend a lot of time with the Lord. They just spend a lot of time. Not that everybody doesn't spend time with the Lord, but these people spend a lot of time praying. Folks that I know can spend hours that have this gifting, spend hours and hours and hours every day praying. Now, they generally have jobs where they can do that. But they spend a lot of time in prayer. They don't spend a lot of time in a lot of the other stuff of the society. They spend a lot of time in prayer before the Lord. And the Lord speaks to them. Now, why do we receive prophecy? Why does God even have this one in here? One of the reasons we receive it is because we follow it is because it's what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures say this. I mean, it's a very clear passage in 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love. That comes from chapter 13, the love chapter. And eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Especially what? Especially what?
Prophecy.
Thank you very much. Especially prophecy. God says that He wants us to be involved in all the spiritual gifts, but especially this one of sharing forth a word from Him to people. And it's just an important gifting that He has. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, He says this, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test all things and hold fast to what's good. One of the things we want to talk about is how we handle prophecy. Because when somebody comes up with a word that they give you, at least for me, these have been the three areas that it's been. It's been confirmation about something. I was sitting in a meeting one time and a guy came up to me who I didn't know and he said, I think the Lord has something for me to share with you. And he shared something with me and all of a sudden it was just something I've been talking to the Lord about, nobody else really knew about, I hadn't shared it with anybody. And all of a sudden he comes and said, and it just was, wow. And it was great confirmation. From that, I began doing some other things, and it just, again, the Lord just kept confirming that this is the way He wanted me to do it. So I thought that was great. Sometimes it's about the future. I remember one guy came up and said something to me, and I'm going, I don't really understand that. It doesn't really fit. Later on, it did. I was working at CompUSA a number of years ago, along with pastoring here. And as I was teaching the class, I was in a class teaching Photoshop, and I was with people for 16 hours. And at that period, at that point in juncture of being with somebody 8 hours, you get to know them a little bit, especially as they mess up, as they do things wrong. You find out what they're made of, you know, because they just sort of let it all hang out there. And so I was able to identify in the classroom fairly rapidly some folks who were walking with the Lord. And so as I was there, three people out of the class of about, I don't know, 15 or so, 12, 15, I forget the exact number. But anyway, so I was just talking with them. And so that night I was going home and I was praying about the next day and teaching and what to do and how to help them understand. And as I'm doing that, the Lord just impresses me that one of the ladies that's in there, that the Lord just had a word that He did not want her to link in together in a business deal with a guy named David. I mean, it's very specific, and a lot of times I don't get things quite that specific, so this is very specific, so I'm going, okay, now what do I do with this? But it's pretty specific, so I prayed about it, and I really felt that the Lord wanted me to share that with her, so at break, I went up to try and share it, and something happened, I couldn't share it. So at lunch break, I went up to try and share it, and couldn't share it. Afternoon break. There was the opportunity. So I went up and said, this might seem kind of strange, but can you imagine somebody coming up to you that's teaching in class and saying this to you? I said, but I was praying for you and others in the class, and I just really felt last night that the Lord just seemed to be saying to me something to say to you. Well, what is it? And I said, well, that you ought to be very careful about getting into a business setting with David. I don't know if that means anything to you or not. And you know what she said? I don't know anybody named David. And I went, okay. And that was really fun. And I said, okay, well, you know, I said, you know, it's very possible that I missed this. And so I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trouble you. I didn't mean to do anything. So, you know, I just went on. And so taught the class. And I gave them my phone number because they many times get back on the job. And I've helped them use the tools, and they need something. And so I just had them call me, and not many people did, but a few people did, and I was able to help them out real fast. And so I gave them a number, and all of a sudden, the next evening, she called. She said, I can't believe I didn't remember David. And I said, excuse me? She said, David was my best friend when I was growing up. And he called me, and he wants to get involved with a business deal and explain this big business deal to me yesterday or today. And I'm going, whoa. See, sometimes it's for something that's in the future. And God lets you know about that. So sometimes it's confirming. Sometimes it's in the future. Sometimes it brings a brand new understanding. And all of a sudden, it's not something like it's brand new. It's just all of a sudden you go, wow, I didn't understand it that way before. And it really helps out with that. So I found those three ways that the Spirit of God uses somebody to help me. in with these giftings. Maybe you've had other settings, but that's been three that I have. So, but I got to tell you something you got to do. You always got to check it out. You got to test it. But guess what you need to do? You need to test teaching that you hear. Do you understand that? You need to test websites that you go on. I've been amazed at the number of students that have handed me stuff from the seminary. And they've handed me stuff, and I go and I check. I'm checking out a couple websites because they're doing references, so I check out those things. And as I'm checking them out, it's a Mormon website, it's a Jehovah's Witness website. They're not Mormons or Jehovah's Witness, but they're using their websites, or they're using other things. That one guy was actually using a site where this dude was just really way off. I mean, I wouldn't even call him Christian. And somebody's using that because they happen to mention the Bible, and they didn't check it out. Listen, the Scriptures require us to test stuff. When you stand before the Lord, you're not going to be able to say, well, Daryl told me that. The Lord's going to say, well, I gave you the Scriptures. Why didn't you check it out? You know, so we can't say somebody else told us and blame it off that. You've got to always check things out. And so you check out teaching you hear. You ought to check out any admonition that you have. Just, is it from the Lord? Is it the Lord moving this person to do this? Or could they be moving themselves to do this? Is there a possibility their flesh could be activating them to do this? Sad to say, that's happened in many, many church settings. And so how do we handle it? How do we test? Let me give you some, I'm going to give you five different ways, okay? Five different things that you can do. Here's the first one. You want to test the nature of it. By that, what I mean is, when the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, God gives us three things that He said these prophecies do. Right? We looked at this a number of weeks ago. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. We sort of take that and put it into a little bit different language. We say God uses it to build you up, to stir you up, or to cheer you up. Easy to remember. So the first question is, does it do one of those three? If it's not doing that, then I would say, okay, I'm not really sure then this is something that I want to take as something the Lord's trying to encourage me with. So the first one, you got it? What's the nature? What's its nature? The second one is this. Does it come from the Spirit of God? That's a good question. Does it come from God's Spirit? There's this passage in 1 John. Maybe you take your Bible and turn there with me. 1 John chapter 4. Where John the Apostle provides this admonition to the church as he writes here. And John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, that means he really likes you. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. So we got to test these. Now, there are sources that could be speaking this out. There are three that I think of. First of all, it could be God's Spirit. I really think a lot of times God's done that. It could be a human spirit, because that's another type of spirit we have in the world, right? I mean, there are four spirits in the world, right? You know that, right? And it's always good to have people who can discern the spirits and what they are. The four spirits are human spirit, God, and then we have two types of angels. What types of angels do we have? We have holy angels and we have unholy angels. And so we have these four different types. And so it could be a human spirit. In other words, a person's just doing this out of their own self. Quite frankly, I've had quite a few of those where people are just giving me their opinion. They cap it up in words that sound like prophecy, but really it's their opinion. And I just go, okay. I mean, because it really hadn't meshed. It really hadn't fit. It really hadn't gone with what God has said for. It really hadn't touched anything. And they're just, are there doing it. And I appreciate their efforts, but they've really not gone before the Lord with it. And could it be an evil spirit? Well, that's possible that an evil spirit is doing that. I mean, does an evil spirit ever tempt you? Have you ever experienced temptation? Sometimes that's from you, right? Would you agree with that? But what happens when all of a sudden you're just walking along and you're not thinking about anything, you're not trying to get into sin, you're not planning, and all of a sudden, boom, you get hit with this. Have you ever had that, or am I the only one that's had that kind of thing? I mean, it's sort of like Jesus is walking along in the wilderness, not doing anything, and all of a sudden, boom, he gets hit with three temptations. You remember that? So since he gets it, we can get it, and spirits can pop thoughts in. So, you just have to check out. What are the source? What's the source? And if it's God, then it's marvelous. And there are going to be ways that you're going to know. There are going to be ways you know. Here's another one that says in the Scriptures, another passage, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10 says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Let me tell you, if somebody's given you a word, then it ought to lead you to the feet of the Lord Jesus. It ought to make you want to go to Him and find out about it. Lord, I want to. If this is what you want, then. I remember one day a word that I received from somebody was that I was going to be used of God to influence nations. The people of the nations. And I went, really? I mean, that's kind of nice. That would have been one of those future things, you know? I wasn't really doing that much. I mean, we were supporting missionaries. I've always done that. But this was not supporting missionaries. This was me involved. I went, really? And you know what happened? I mean, I sort of tucked that away. You know, Mary. It says Mary, you remember the words that Gabriel brought to her from the Lord? You remember that when he came in? And it says she hid them in her heart. She just treasured them away. I just sort of treasured that away. And then, you know, the Lord had me go to a couple countries that I've been involved with, and that's been great, still involved with Him. But, you know, there's this other way. I went on the website this past week just to check out the hits because I can go in and see how many people have been getting on. 156 different hits on one day on our little website that's not much. We don't advertise. And that day, 36 different countries. Isn't that amazing? From our little website that we don't advertise. And God's even doing that still. So I think it's neat how God does that. And when it's really from the Lord, you're sort of pushed to Him. You're pushed to the Lord. So that's a great way to know it. Also, if it's the Spirit of God, it's going to bear the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we're to bear the fruits of the Spirit, right? He creates that within us. That's part of that changing process where He takes us from what we used to be to where He makes us to become more like His Son. And the Spirit of God has these things. And you ought to be able to experience those as the person sharing that. That there is love and joy and peace and all these things are coming forth in the Word that's spoken. I've heard some people, boy, you know, I don't know if they're trying to be like the Old Testament prophets that are beating people up or not. I just don't know. But you remember, when God sent the Old Testament prophets to His people, He had been talking to them for 400 years about not walking this way. And He'd been given direct revelation. And they were still going to temples and worshiping other gods. I mean, they were really walking outside of God's way. It's not like people in church were trying to walk with the Lord. It's people who were walking in a rebellious way against God. And the Spirit of God comes with these things as He's dealing with it. Could He ever deal with issues that are sin? Sure, but He's going to do it in the way that He always does, drawing us to Himself. Here's the third one. This is a biggie. I mean, this is, without a doubt, in my thinking, the biggest. Does it agree with the Scriptures? If there's anything that moves away from the Scriptures, goes off from that, then it's not the Lord doing it. It can't be. That's why, if you don't know the Scriptures that well, you need to find somebody who's more mature, who understands the Scriptures, and then come and talk with them. In fact, I encourage you to do that anyway. Talk with people about it and let them interject their thoughts about what was said so that you'll be able to do that. But just agree with the Scriptures. There's this interesting verse in Old Testament with Isaiah where he's dealing with prophecies and he's dealing with false prophets that are around in that day. And he says, "The law to the law and the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them." If it's not according to the Scriptures, then we know that it's veered off. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, for profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And we understand the Scriptures are the basis from which we operate. And you've got to have it that way. So if anybody's telling you to do things that are not scripturally, you need to be careful. Jim Jones, some of you are not going to know the name Jim Jones, but some of us are old enough to remember the name Jim Jones. Jim Jones was a pastor of a church congregational church. And he started leading people astray, and he started using prophecy to lead people astray. He finally led a group of people to leave the United States of America, go down to South America, where at a town they called Jamestown, he encouraged them to drink Kool-Aid that had been spiked with poison. And when people showed up there, all they found were dead bodies of children, of moms and dads, because these people believed a lie. You've got to go to the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures say. And if it's not according to the Scriptures, then you just say, no, I'm not going that way. We've got to have the Scriptures, because it's very, very important that we follow what God has said in His revealed Word. Here's the fourth test. Does it glorify the Lord Jesus and move you closer to Him? If it doesn't do that, then it's not the Spirit of God who's moving that. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 14, He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. That's what Jesus said the Spirit of God would do. He would glorify the Lord Jesus. And so, is this doing that? Will this glorify the Lord Jesus, or is it only going to build you up? It's just something that's popping out there, and it's for the Lord doing that. And then, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 3, Paul wrote and said, Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's going to be pushing us towards the Spirit, pushing us toward the Lord Jesus, not away from the Lord Jesus. So does it glorify the Lord Jesus? And here's the fifth test, and this is a big one. Is it manipulative? Is it manipulative? Let me explain what I mean by manipulative. How do you know if it's manipulative? If it usurps your will, you've got to do this. It's manipulative. The Lord says you're to do this. I mean, the Lord didn't say, you be saved. The Lord said, you need to get saved, right? I mean, if we take a sword like Muslims have in the past to a person and say, you become a Muslim, and this is bad, but it's happened in history, you become a Muslim or we will kill you. And you know how you became a Muslim? You simply said some words. And you said those words, and they said, now you're a Muslim. I have a friend who's in India. His name is Munisami. And he took on the Christian name Manasseh. And Manasseh, after he finished Bible college, he invited some of his guys that he had known who were at the temple in Rameshwaram, a famous temple for Indians who are Hindus, second famous holy site in their religion. And they invited him to come. He invited them to come to his graduation because they'd hear the gospel. And so they came to his graduation. They were friends of his, had been friends for over 15 years. And after he graduated, they kidnapped him. And they took him to the temple. And they put a white powder on his forehead. And they said, now you're Hindu. And he said, putting powder on my head will not make me Hindu. I'm not Hindu. I'm Christian. I follow Jesus Christ. And they said, if you don't return from Jesus Christ, then we're going to take this kerosene, we're going to pour it all over your body, and we're going to light you up. And he said, well, if that's what you want to do, light me up. But I'm a Christian. I'm going to be with Jesus. We can't force people into Christianity. You understand that? If they're coerced, it's not real. It's people who are drawn by the Spirit of God, and they come because they understand God is making a marvelous provision for them and wants to be their father. But this adoption process is not where people come screaming, kicking into it. It's where they come running out of love to the Father. And so if you're being manipulated, it's not God. It's the person trying to get you to do that. I don't have time for stories. But there are a lot of people that try and manipulate. The second one is this. They try to tell you what they think. And a lot of people, you can just tell it's what they're saying. It's not what God's saying, because it's fitting their plans. Did you hear that? It's fitting what they want you to do. It's fitting their plans for you, not God's plans for you. You know who ought to tell you what to do? What's the obvious answer? Who ought to tell you what to do? The Lord. And you ought to go to Him. Lord, what do you want me to do? I cannot tell you what your gifting is. I can help point out. I can help you find out what it is. I can confirm what it is. But the Spirit of God has to work on you about that. I don't have that kind of availability. I can't tell you what God's plan is for you. That's way above my pay grade. What I can do is help you move in that. And another thing is a dominant personality where they just really come and it's just, need to watch that. If you are giving words, you need to make sure that you are stepping way back out of the picture and allowing the Lord to use you rather than you being involved in it. Because it's serious business. We're not to manipulate anybody in there. If there's a fearful sense, if you don't comply with what they said, it's manipulation. Do you understand what I mean by that? You know, if you fear, I got to do this or else, then it's manipulation. You need, if a person's saying that, you're doing it because of what they say, that's manipulation. If they say, now this is what God says, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, that's a problem. It does matter what other people say. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. You need to go have other people around. Have them talk with you. You just find out what's there. And the Lord said this, and you better do it. I had somebody say it to me one day. And I said, okay. I hear what you say. I'll ask Him if that's what He wants me to do. And if He says yes, then I'll do it. If no, then I'm not going to do it. Oh, but this is what... You know, that's why I think it's so much better when if the Lord gives you something, it's great to go up and say to them, I was praying, I think the Lord might want to encourage you with this. To come in with these others that are just slamming. I have a problem with it on people doing it from our level. Because the Scripture says, for the fruits of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth. It's not manipulating and having it my way, doing it or else. It's always suggesting the Lord do it. I love this passage from Romans, don't you? It tells us what the kingdom of God is. You know what the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's this. Righteousness, and what are the two other things? Peace. So when you get it, it ought to be something that fits. And joy. It ought to excite you to move that way with the Lord. It's not manipulative. And you always got to remember, the Scripture says this, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't know everything. And so usually what I get when somebody says we're doing, it's some little piece of a large thing, and it's usually one, just one piece that sits in. And that's how the Lord many, many times does it, because it's only part. I mean, I know many times when the Lord's given me a word, the way God does, He'll do different with different people. The way God does it with me, He just brings a word to my mind. And I really don't understand. It's in part. Because I only have one word. I mean, just one word. And the word could be pajamas. And I have no idea what that means. I've had strange words come. I had the word pajamas come one time. I had the word artichoke come one time. I had, what was another strange one? Keyhole. Come one time. It's just strange things. They don't mean a thing to me. But you know what? They're not supposed to mean anything to me. God's using them for the person. And so we only know in part. So here's the test. What's its nature? What is its spirit? Does it agree with Scripture? Does it glorify the Lord Jesus? Is it manipulative? Now, Tanya, I'll ask Tanya to come up here because Tanya was with us last week and three people shared with her. And so I would like for her to come up here, and she's going to answer some questions. Hi. Hey. Thanks for coming up again.
Three times in 2 weeks, I'm done for the year.
All right. When you were up here, there were three folks that we had minister to you, and one of them shared about a wall. And that the Lord would help you in tearing down that wall. And the second one was about the Lord being a Valentine to you, being a lover to you. And the third one was about a guy, a student, person, and that you would step into something that God had was setting up and doing, and you went into it. So, as far as the nature of it, okay, we're talking about that concept of Did it bring exhortation, edification? Did it stir you up, cheer you up, encourage you, cheer you up? Did it do all those things? Did you find that, not necessarily focusing on one, but all three put together, did they provide that?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Okay. I had really been seeking the Lord, just wanting to know more of Him and really wanting to be satisfied with Him. And so when the opportunity came for prophecy and nobody took it, I thought, okay, well, Lord, I'm going to step out in this. And I definitely was encouraged by all three.
Okay, that's good. All right. What spirit is it? Was it from human spirit or was it from... And how, again, you know that because of the nature that it comes with. Did it come forth that way for you?
Mm-hmm.
That it was...
It's, you know, hard sometimes to trust prophecy that comes from people that you know so well. And
it's hard to give it when you're... It's much easier when you have people you don't know anything about. So go ahead, yes.
But I really do feel like that all three of them line up with things that have been said to me in the past. And I guess the next question is, does it agree with Scripture? But, you know, go along with Scripture, too.
Sure, sure. Because we're to share with people, we're to develop a deeper relationship with the Lord. And if there are problems, then the Lord's going to be the one that you go to get help to bring down those problems, the barrier. Does it glorify the Lord Jesus? I think that manipulative, you didn't feel like people were trying to twist your arm to do something.
I definitely think in pictures, and so as each of you were speaking to me, a picture kind of came to my mind of, you know, that sort of illustrated, I guess, what you were saying, and so I feel like that definitely was confirmation from the Lord that it was from Him.
Good. So were these basically confirmation deals from the Lord, a future or an enhanced idea?
The first two.
The first two. Very good. That's great. That's great. That's fine. That's fine. All right. Well, that's how I found prophecy to be for me, you know, when people have had some words for me. And the big thing you need to do, though, is to test it. Do you understand that? I mean, just like you would anybody speaking, you would want to test that. After a while, you get to know the person, and that's fine. But guess what? Just knowing them doesn't mean that you then all of a sudden don't test anything again. You need to test it, you know? So... that's an important thing. Well, thank you. Now you've done your duty. Okay. Well, that's brief. These three times have been real brief. I'm sorry they're so brief. We will probably have other training in the future for other things along this line for people who really have some gifting in that. But you see, the Scripture says that all of us are to be involved in doing this. One of the best ways I find that this can be encouraged in your own heart is to pray for people. Pray for people. And in the quiet of your home, just say, Lord, I want to pray right now for Brad Smith. And so would you help me just pray for him? And so you just start praying. And all of a sudden, the Lord will bring things to your mind, some stuff you know. And that's great. Pray for that. But other things you might not know. Remember the first time this phrase, prophecy, the word prophecy used in the Scriptures, who's it connected with? Who's the person that God says he's a prophet? The very first person. Sorry? No. Moses was one, but he isn't the first one. Who's the first one? Who? Elijah is one, but he's not the first one. Who is the very first one that God said he's a prophet? Boy, it's rough when teachers ask questions and no students understand the answer. Abraham, that's right. Abraham was him. You remember? He goes before, he's actually had messed up. He had told a lie that his sister was his wife was his sister. Remember that? And Abimelech, the king of the land, comes and takes her for his harem. And God visits Abimelech that night in a dream, unbeliever, visits him in a dream and says, you're a dead man. And he says, whoa, wait a minute, why am I a dead man? He said, because you have a woman in your harem who is another man's wife. He said, I didn't know about that. I'm innocent. And God said, yeah, I know. That's why I'm showing up right now in this dream to tell you that. Give him back to Abraham, and Abraham will pray for you because he is a prophet. And it's interesting, the very first time the word prophet's used in the Scriptures, it's used in conjunction with the concept of prayer. So people who have this gifting, it's not so much for you to go out and tell everything that you think the Lord's given you. I mean, you need to ask Him for permission to share these matters. And then, once you ask Him, then you go on what He says. But the big thing that you always, 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 don't need to say it anymore, always need to do is what? Pray. And you pray into those matters. And so I pray into it. I have some friends who could not handle this concept that God provides for you in the now. They think everything was just totally done in the Scriptures, and I appreciate and respect their position. Disagree with it, because I don't find anywhere in the Scriptures that says, this is going to stop on this day. And so I tend to think it's something that's continued. I think all of a sudden the Scriptures have continued, and we're in the church age until something else takes place that's really demarcating, and that's when Jesus comes back. And then we just continue as they did in the early church that way. But I don't find that. But I respect that. But even to those brothers, I've been able to pray for them the things God's given me. Does that make sense? I just come up to them and I say, Lord, I thank you for so-and-so, and I just pray. And I just pray what the Lord brings to my mind. And sometimes it's stuff that is really kind of interesting. And many times I've had brothers come back to me who would have trouble with this concept and say to me, you remember you were praying for me one day? I don't remember it. You were praying for me one day about this. And let me just tell you what's happened. And so they can receive it that way. And I think, again, prayer. That's what we'd be involved in, praying for folks. So if you have this gifting that God's given you, may I just encourage you, pray for people. In fact, I'll give you a great way to enhance your, like I said, praying for somebody is a great way to do it. So why don't you pray for me this week? Okay? I can use all I can get. And so why don't you just pray, and maybe God will work with you in that a little bit, and you can pray for me. And whatever He brings to your mind, pray for me. All right? Because I need God working in my life. Well, that's the first one of these gifts. But the Father in heaven's given them to you. And so if your gift is not this one, this isn't the main gifting that He's giving you, that's okay. You understand. Everybody's to do it. Some people have this gifting. We're going to, when I come back again in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking to this subject. We're going to be talking about another one of the seven gifts and seeing what God has to say about it. Because we want everybody activated in their gifting. Everybody doing what God has gifted you to do. How old do you have to be to do it? Yeah. Yeah, you have to be old enough to be able to communicate. But to minister to people, to help somebody, you don't have to be real old. Rebecca's not here, but Rebecca Carnegie did it when she was 2.5. And she ministered in a small group meeting I was in. And that time broke open a person who was not a believer. And he actually prayed for his daughter for the very first time in his life that night. And the reason he told me later he did it was because he said, if a 2-year-old can do it, I can do it. And God used that as in a progression in his life for things where God got involved with him. So God can use us. He wants to use you. He has gifted you for His purposes. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. Thank you that all gifts come from you. We recognize the source. It's not us, and it's nothing for us to get puffed up about. But we do recognize that you gift us with these different giftings so that you can use us within the body to strengthen the body and encourage one another. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you've given here. And would you work within our congregation so that everybody would find that major gifting they have and be energized by your Spirit to accomplish tasks for your kingdom, that we might touch many, many people for your Son. Thank you for living with us and sharing our lives with us. Thank you for delivering us from the miry clay situations and the horrible pit situations. Thank you for establishing us. Thank you for being with us in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. We love you and we praise you, Father, because of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.